Would you please stand and turn in your blue hymnals to number 147 and join us in song as we come in this morning to How Great Thou Art. Please join me in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an everlasting love and can turn the shadow of death into the morning, help us now to wait upon you with reverent and believing hearts. In the silence and solemnness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we may have hope and be lifted above our grief, our darkness, and our distress into the light and peace of your presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. My name is Pastor Dennis Wadsworth, and I serve the Fertile community here at Hope Evangelical Free Church. And on behalf of the family, I wish to express to you their gratitude for your coming to be with them at this hour. After our service concludes today with the benediction, there will be a light lunch that is served. If you are going to the committal, we will be doing that directly after the service down at the South Cemetery. If you are staying, please feel free to go in the back and let the lunch begin. One word of logistics, if you go out the side aisles, down out, go straight back through the side doors of the kitchen and get your meal that way and then come through the center. It just makes traffic flow a little easier.
Can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. Say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices
so sorry. How can I say thanks? Just try it again. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved. You came to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am or ever hope to be, yeah. I owe it all right now to thee. Thee. And should I gain
should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary, Calvary. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The life of Gladys Stuhog. Gladys Marion Stuhog, 88, died on Thursday, November 15, 2012, at the Fair Meadows Nursing Home, Fertile, Minnesota. She was born on January 12, 1924, to Anton and Nellie Ingebrigtsen Rice at home in Garden Township, rural Fertile. Gladys attended Willow Creek Country School near her home. Following her schooling, Gladys began working at a cafe in Fertile. On October 25, 1947, Gladys was united in marriage to Charles Stuhog at her parents' home. They lived in Fertile, where they raised two sons, Greg and Rick. While being a mother and wife, Gladys also received calls on the telephone and kept a book for Charles Stuhog Trucking business. At the age of 60, she began working as a certified nursing assistant at the Fair Meadows Nursing Home in Fertile. She worked at the nursing home until she was 78 years old. Charles died on October 21, 1997. Gladys entered the Fair Meadows Nursing Home on July 22, 2008. Gladys was an immaculate housekeeper and very detailed in all she did. She was an excellent cook and did some drawing. Gladys was a member of the Concordia Lutheran Church Fertile, where she was active in Welka and taught Sunday school. For a time, Gladys was a Cub Scout leader. Gladys is survived by her sons, Greg and Marla of Fertile, and Rick and his wife Kathy of Moorhead, Minnesota. 6 grandchildren and 19 great-grandchildren, 1 brother, Vernon and Brigida Rice of Blaine, Minnesota, and several nephews, nieces, and cousins. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, a great-grandson, Jaden Karsten, three brothers, Arlen, Chester, and Harold, and two sisters, Alpha Pilger and Evelyn Lee. May Almighty God bless the memory of Gladys Duhaug. Receive the comfort of the word of Almighty God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and has risen again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Worship his holy name.
Last night, as is our custom during the family service, the prayer service, we take a few minutes to remember things about our loved one that has passed. And I like that time. I like learning. I like knowing about the people more than I have known. For example, didn't come out much last night, but, well, it'll come out. We learned that she was a giver of gum. Even on the table when we came in, there's a bunch of extra. I wonder who's going to get that. We learned that her favorite son was Greg. I did not know that. That's what we did learn. We learned that. We learned that. I can't help but read through the obituary and see what a strong work ethic Gladys had. Going to work when she was 60. When most of us are thinking, how can we get out of work in our 50s? Is my 401k going to make it? We learned about her immaculate housekeeping. That's a very nice word to use about it. That's a wonderful thing. And we also heard about her faith in Jesus Christ. But it is ironic, and I don't mean to cause any pain, but there's a valuable lesson that I learned from Gladys that the Lord used to remind me of a certain thing, and we'll get to that before the end of my time this morning. But nobody mentioned her twisted posture at the end of her life. It's not the way we want to remember her. But it is true. And God, I believe, has a lesson for us about himself, even in that. What I'd like to discuss with you for just a few minutes are what I've called three kingdoms. There are at least three kingdoms that Scripture informs us about. The domain of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Almighty God, the kingdom of heaven, and your kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is spoken about in 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John 3, very often as the Bible speaks about the kingdom of darkness, it talks about it in relationship to what Christ has done. But that does not diminish the fact that there is that kingdom. And in verses 7 and 8, John writes, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, Almighty God. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. He who practices sin is of the devil." Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 speak again to us about this other kingdom. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he, God, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Scripture gives us the first kingdom. And in those verses speaking about the first kingdom, it also tells us about the second, the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus shows up and he begins his public ministry after being tempted in the wilderness, Mark records these words of Christ as he begins. "Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The first words of Christ recorded in Mark's gospel have to do with the kingdom of God, the gospel, and repentance and belief. In Philippians chapter 2, we are told that at the end of all things, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, that he is the King. And in the book of Revelation, he is declared with much glory to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. Because Gladys had a faith in Jesus Christ, she knew about the kingdom of God. Now, she knows the kingdom of God. But there is that third kingdom. And it's really not a kingdom, it's an illusion. It doesn't really exist, but we think it does. Your kingdom and my kingdom. Peering into contemporary Christian music, there is a song out there that is written by Toby Mac. It's called Me Without You. And in the refrain, it says, without you, I'd be packing my bags when I'm supposed to stay. I'd be following every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. Now, most people aren't from that generation, and so I'll go to a generation that understands some words of Bill and Gloria, 1970. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master Savior Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. You see, that kingdom, that third kingdom, is an illusion and it's a trap that we fall into. The world and the flesh and the devil work in concert to bring us into that trap. Members of the kingdom of God. Because if you're not in the kingdom of God, you're in the kingdom of darkness, and the illusion doesn't matter. If you're in the kingdom of God, then the illusion is possible to live for something other than the kingdom of God. The biblical illustration, all the way back to the beginning. Adam and Eve were there. And Satan himself showed up, and he tempted Eve to make her doubt and question. And Eve looked on the fruit that she wasn't supposed to eat, and the illusion was there. She looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and able to make one wise. Were those things untrue? No, they weren't. But God had put a prohibition on eating that fruit, but instead Eve saw her kingdom, the ability to be wise and feed herself and be pleased. And so she ate and she gave to her husband, and he ate, and sin entered into the world. That's the biblical illustration of the illusion. Here's a more realistic and personal one. The kingdom of ministry. Recently, I had breakfast with someone, and they asked me where I saw our church going in 5 years, and I was able to explain it pretty quickly. I can imagine where it might be in 5 years. And then they asked me how they could pray for the church. And without hesitation, I said that we would not become maintainers. What do you mean? Well, Vernon and Phil, Pastor Dale, who was here last night, we all know the razor's edge that we walk in ministry. That razor's edge to compromise the kingdom of God in order to establish and or maintain our kingdom of influence. It's almost innocuous today to even speak of this example. We don't even give it a second thought. As ministers, we know the Word of God says that fornication is wrong. It's a sin. And yet there are couples that come in for premarital counseling who are living together in a state of sin. But we don't talk that way anymore. Instead, we're more worried about the ramifications of if we say, no, I won't marry you, to the congregation and who's going to leave the church because we won't marry their cousins. That's the razor's edge we walk. If we begin to compromise the Word of God and become maintainers to keep the bodies in the seat and the money flowing, that's the illusion. of the kingdom of ministry. Or maybe somebody from the congregation has gone down to the casino and they hit it big. And they come in and they want to write a check to the church for 1/10 of their winnings. And we don't question in ministry how they got the money. And the industry and the devastation that has on the lives of families. The addiction that it causes. When we know that those things ought not to be. We walk in the compromise. We walk the razor's edge with the illusion ever present. When we begin to compromise, and I'm not just talking about the pastors now, I'm talking about all of us. When we compromise the kingdom and the truth of God, when we diminish what His Word says, when we question the authority and inerrancy of Scripture, when we question the deity of Christ, when we question the nature of the gospel, we are Protestants in the room mostly. Martin Luther nailed it to the wall at Wittenberg, the door, because he had said, enough of the compromise. When we compromise kingdom truth, when we compromise kingdom values, we are living in the illusion of our own kingdom. And nobody mentioned Gladys's posture. But I'm grateful for her posture at the end of her life, because it reminds me that if I live long enough, if you live long enough, everything that you have built up into your kingdom, you will lose. Even your posture. Some of you may be sitting here today waiting for the results of the test. Some of you may have already gotten the results of the test, and you know that you're losing your health. You know in your business that the kingdom you're building will one day fade away. And God bless them at Fair Meadows, but if most of us live long enough, they'll get it all. And God bless them for caring for our loved ones. So, beloved, I end with this. What kingdom do you live in? Do you live in the kingdom of darkness? Then come to the cross for salvation. Jesus, God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you live in the kingdom of self, your kingdom? Surrender. Let it go. Be done with it. You can't keep it anyways. Surrender to Almighty God and live and serve in His kingdom. Because that's the only thing that will last. Gladys was an immaculate housekeeper. Her son Rick kept an immaculate store. I loved going in there. The aisles were perfectly knit. There was nothing out of place. It was perfection. It was incredible. I loved it. I'm not that way. That's why I like it so much. Because, beloved, what kingdom are you living in? Because right now, Gladys is in her eternal kingdom. And she is enjoying her king. And she is enjoying the rewards of her service in His kingdom. May Almighty God bless the memory of Gladys Duhaug. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word, which is eternal truth. We might not like it sometimes. It might challenge our way of thinking, our way of life. But we have a decision to make of in which kingdom we will be building, where we will be living. Lord, give us the strength to believe the gospel and repent of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please join me by standing as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine Together all the way through. The words will be on the screen behind me if you do not know them. Before we have our benediction, if you are attending the committal, we will be going there directly after our service. If you are not and would like to stay for lunch, please stay in fellowship. The family will be back shortly. Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.